All right, fellas, we're back. Okada. So we just had too much to talk about from last episode. We figured we'd make a part two. So don't know quite how long this will go, if it'll go as long as the other episode, but definitely want to check it out and see, because there's just so much to talk about in the world. It's almost like it could be a recurring thing, because especially, you know, once we hopefully grow enough to get some athlete guests on, I definitely want to hear their opinions on some of it, whether they believe in trash talk, whether they utilize it, do they talk on the court, how do they respond to other people talking to them, like, and we're definitely interested from hearing from y'all as well. So keep them stories coming in and let us know what y'all think. Do y'all talk trash? Now, I know everybody talk trash on social media. Almost everybody talks trash on social media, but would you do it face-to-face, in person, on the court, on the field?
Wait, are you talking about cyberbullying?
Yeah, I want to see that cyberbullying translate to the to the court or field, though.
Not everyone built like that.
I mean, who's built for it? Or hey, not?
Wait, hold up. There's a dude on Twitter. He actually meets people, and his name is based off of Love Don't Cost a Thing, if I'm not mistaken, Elgin Baylor Smith III at Southside Gun. He literally talks trash and fights people. He goes out his way to talk trash, and then they be like, "Hey, yo, meet up." He start fighting. He's actually about that life.
Well, we're not going that far.
No, we're not.
We're not setting that kind of example.
But I gotta give a shout out, because he was like, "Hey, man, I got you." I was like, "Oh, thank you."
Wow. On that note, so kind of to bridge from the first part of this conversation to the second, one of the things that I had talked about was that you got to be aware of your audience, right?
Yes.
And so just recently, within the past week, there is a new documentary out on Netflix. You probably won't like it as much, but I know I do, because I'm the football junkie of this group. Mm. And it's produced by Omaha Productions, Peyton Manning's production company, and it's called Quarterback.
Okay, I've heard about it.
They follow Patrick Mahomes, Kirk Cousins, and Marcus Mariota from the Falcons from last season. All of which had different journeys to get to the NFL, have had different types of careers, and all had very different types of seasons as well. And so I've started into it, but there's one interesting clip that I thought was very relevant to the whole idea of, like, knowing your audience from Patrick Mahomes. And so I'm going to play it real quick.
I'm a big compliment guy. They get close to me. Hey, great rush, dude. Good rush, Hanan. First off, I mean, I have a ton of respect for those guys. They're playing their toe off. They're trying to get me at all costs. Good rush, big dog. Good rush. Good play, big dog. Come on. Good play, big dog. That was a touchdown. Great play, dog. I've always said that I want to make sure those guys like me. Good rush, big dog. That's a good-ass hit, though. Good rush, 5-5. They have the decision, if it's consciously or subconsciously, to finish those hits. And I feel like if those guys like me, they won't finish them as hard. Appreciate you, dog.
That's true.
So
he's Andrew Luck.
Yes, almost like a different. Andrew Luck was another guy.
Good job. Every time we get up,
he'd pat him like, good job, man. Great
position.
But point being, I really loved how he tied it at the end to say, you know, that, like, whoops, my bad about that. But I like how he tied it at the end to say, you know, whether it's conscious or unconscious, they have the ability to finish those hits, and that could have an impact on my career.
Absolutely.
Right. And, like, you got to be aware of that. Right. And that could be disaster in some cases, especially if they feel like, oh, I don't like this guy. Right. And I'm going to go finish a little extra hard this time and make sure that he doesn't get up this time. I mean, some guys unfortunately do have that mindset. So you got to know your audience, right? So he's talking about defensive linemen. He's like, I want them guys to like me.
Absolutely.
Right? But then what's interesting to me, kind of going into the first question that I wanted to pose to you all, is because later on, like, I mean, part of that whole, you know, focus on Patrick Mahomes, I think the first two episodes is very heavy on Patrick. He and Max Crosby, who's a defensive lineman for the Raiders, get into it. And it gets to a point of trash talking back and forth to where he feels like he's coming at his legs every time. Mm. And then one time he comes up, he hits him like way well after the ball was thrown. And he just kind of like punches him in the like arm side of the arm. Kind of like an arm bar punch. Yeah. Like that. And Patch is like, come on, dog. Like I get what you're trying to do, but like, just chill out a little bit, right? Mm. And so I wanted to kind of pose that as, I guess, as a segue introduction to what are, or for you all, do you all feel like there's unwritten rules or boundaries around trash talk, whether that be through words or actions, physicality, like escalation? Do you feel like there's some unwritten things that, like, regardless of sport of preference, like, you just can't go there?
So you want to go?
Yeah, because I'm going to say, don't talk about nobody's wife, nobody's girlfriend, nobody's
side. Can't talk about Cheerios?
The honey nut Cheerios. See, again, like, different times.
Yeah, because that's what I said. It, from last episode, I said, look at the last few years. Children, just kind of keep it in the bounds of, hey, look, this is it. But at the same time, if you want to go that hard, I was like, okay, we could probably come back and go harder. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, those boundaries for me, physical, if you're trying to intimidate me on a physicality, keep it in a sense where I know that you're in control and you're not going to try to do anything stupid. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, for instance, like, we'll go back to, I use this one. So when I was in doing sparring, there's a kid I wanted to try to get at me. I was like number one in the class at the time. It was a while ago, but I was number one in the class, and he tried to do what I used to do, but I was in control. The knee, you know, the fake knee, like, you know, kickboxers do as a little, as a fake. Well, I did that, and I also did like the ollie shuffle. So I had to go for a gut punch, and I had to come over with a hook. So I'm over there, and he tried to do it, and then what he did was he extended it to a front kick and tried to kick me in the, so, and he did it, he was trying to do that on purpose to make it look like that. I'm like, no, that's crossing boundaries, because I'm like, dude, you not in control yet. So that's one. Or playing defense against basketball, where I used to, I definitely can't do it now at this time, but where I played against him, he's like, bro, you're getting too close. I'm like, no, I'm hopping with my legs. That don't sound right. You know, no, so you know how, like, okay, I'll tell you a secret. You know how, like, when I go up and I used to guard, even you, I go up and guard, and I'm like, stance wise, I'm doing that on purpose because I'm also trying to keep you in your place. So that's not, for me, that's not also, that's pushing boundaries, but that's not crossing it, because on top of that, I'm not in your landing space as well, if that makes sense. So physicality of that, hopefully that did answer the question, but physicality of that, you're not going too much, but at the same time, you're getting enough where the person understands, it's like, okay, he's in control, he's able to do it.
So before, I know you want to respond, but I think Matt actually, for once, makes a really good point.
Yo, is this trash talk?
This is our own version of trash talk. So Matt actually makes a good point. Don't mess up that mic cord on the way back. All right. But I think that you could find yourself in kind of similar to that clip where if you do talk enough trash, you could, whether it's consciously, I think in most times it'll be subconsciously, might rile somebody up enough to where the physicality increases, right? And they're like, okay, well, I'm playing you one way. Now I'm gonna play correct, tighter, tougher. Correct. I'm gonna be more physical with you. I'm gonna get up in, like, in basketball, I'm gonna get up on them, right? Or football, I'm gonna put a little more in that hit when I'm coming across, if I'm coming across the middle, right? And so you could, I mean, that's a great point, to where trash talking could lead to that type of physicality that the person is so emotionally invested in the anger or frustration that they, you know, just lose control of that. And so I think that's a really, really great point of it. How do you ensure that it doesn't get to that point, you know, by controlling your trash talk? Or if you're on the receiving end, how do you, as the person who's receiving, especially if you don't receive it well, because some people just black it out and they're like, okay, great, I'm gonna just watch what I'm gonna do to you, right? But other people internalize that and they start to get frustrated. And then how do you make sure that you also don't lose control? It's like a fascinating, like, psychological concept that I'm sure there's probably research out there on too, but I think that could happen. I mean, I could see it easily happening, especially when the stakes are high, yep. Right? Playing out on the, you know, street ball on the courts, stakes aren't high. But when you're, you know, fighting for roster spots, you're fighting for playoff positioning, you're fighting for get clauses in your contract that will incentives that push up to give you a couple extra mil, right? Like whatever it is, that could all definitely play into it.
Absolutely. See, for me, and Matt touches on a lot of this, the trash talk element of, you know, going overboard, I guess we could say. We talked a lot about this in the last episode with the mental aspect of it, like personalities, Ben Simmons, Trae Young, whatever. When it comes to more physical side of it, when you turn that into physical action, when it comes in mental, you process it. Mm-hmm. Now, when it hits your emotions, how do you channel it? Do you take it and do you break down? Do you start breaking down now? Because that's really what happens, right? The Ben Simmons story, it hits you and slowly it keeps eating away at you and it just breaks you down. And now you're a shell of a man, or a shell of that performer, that athlete.
Dang, I'm sorry, you just hit the shell of a man.
Or an athlete. I mean. All right. Then there's the other version of it. You take it. I don't know if you ever saw the Kobe. He did this little like clips, like a series of clips he did with like Muppets, with the purple snake.
The one where he won the Oscar.
I missed that
one.
And he did this thing about like this aura of, I can't remember what the term was he used, but that was like the dark energy.
Mm.
How do you take that dark energy and then what do you do with it?
That's a good point.
It was almost like a very dark type of Muppet, like Sesame Street.
Actually, that's where it came. Sorry, side note.
I can't remember the term he used though.
They came from Frank Oz's workshop. My bad.
So whatever that was, and he talked about like you take this energy, and now you collect it when the fans are giving it to you. Collect it. Almost like a villain in a movie, right? All mm-hmm. these people are like shooting rays at him and he absorbs all
like
their energy.
Okay, or like we could use this like Captain Marvel where she absorbs all the energy. I know y'all seen Endgame.
And then you kick it back, right? And you just, yeah. Whatever.
Like I'm trying to explain it so people understand. Like, or Goku with Spirit Bomb, you know?
So you can do that with it, which is what he did with it. He absorbed it. He loved it. He like, and it became his alter ego at some point. He took mm-hmm. it and he ran with it.
So I think it's safe to say like that can come in, that hatred can come in and it creates a pressure.
Absolutely.
And it's how what does the person it. Do with the pressure?
Right. Either you're going to break from it or you're going to channel it and then utilize it correctly, which is kind of like our story, right? When people talk to us, we take it. I love it. Let's go. And right. then I'm going to show you through my action. Then there's the other side, like when you saw, right? There are players who I played against. This is kind of like why I avoid, we have slowly, as we our families grew, started avoiding playing with randoms. Because you bust them up, and now it gets in, it's an ego thing, right? Mm. Like someone that looks like me is destroying you in basketball, and now you can't handle it, especially if you brought your girl. Now it's even worse for you. And at this point, okay, you know what? Let me hurt him. No. That's when it's overboard. You could talk about my mom, my dad, sister. I don't care. Because I know I can, I'm thick-skinned enough, I can handle it. I come from that fabric, like that school of hard knocks, you could say. Growing up in the streets like that. In like the streets, when I say like on the concrete, playing hardball, but like no blood, no foul. We used to play like that. So I can handle it. But when you come and try to physically hurt me, which is away from the game of basketball, for example, like landing space, now you're purposely stepping under me so I, you know, twist my ankle.
Well, that helicopter said.
Or different. If I jump up and you're pushing me from behind so I land awkwardly or land mm-hmm. into the pole, that's different. That's when it becomes, nah, bro, this we got to stop this right now, right here. Because either we're going to handle this the right way, but we're not going to handle it this way where I'm not in control.
Or you mean when somebody bear hugs you from behind and throws you down to the ground?
That's another one, right? So that's kind of where it gets overboard for me. I'm not more the mental, like the words, I can handle that. But when it comes to physical boundaries, that's when I can't, no. We're going to stop that right there.
Yeah. Matt, you were going to say something?
I already said it, but he didn't hear me. So what was up with that, you in that helicopter?
That was just a freak accident, man.
No, no.
That's a story for another day. Yeah, it is. Heck in the helicopter leaf.
But going, oh my God. But going back, that reminded me, you said, like, take that in. Like, I think about some of the trash talking, and there's one song in particular, me and him were talking about it earlier, 50 Cent. Mm. Many men. Which, like, he had a whole thing about that, and he was, like, working out, and he literally was, like, thinking about all the bad that was going on with him.
Right.
He's writing it. And he channeling it in. He wrote that song, and he didn't even have a beat for it. I forgot. I saw an interview this past week about it. But the point was, he had channeled that, turned that into a hit song, and people use that for, and the conquest, if you get my man in the end of the movies. But as you were saying, go ahead, Ken.
No, I mean, I agree. So I wanted to ask y'all what you think about how, like, trash talking has evolved. I think we touched a little bit on this in the first episode of the first part of this, but how do you, like, how have you seen, from just your experiences, trash talk kind of evolve to where we are now, and thinking about how it's going to be with this next generation that's coming up?
So, like, for me, I'm not a big trash talker, as maybe that seems surprising to some people. I don't speak until spoken to.
Mm.
That's how I perceive trash talking. I'm going to handle my business on the court. And until you start talking to me, okay, now I have to respond.
Now I'm obliged to respond.
Correct. Right? It's like, you know, don't wake him up.
Don't poke the bear.
Correct.
Like, yo, wait a minute. Heck is like, you ever seen them old movies and like old westerns and you hear the whoosh? That is Hack. It is. We're literally sitting there.
Not the whip reference. We like that. Four episodes in.
I'm gonna need to find that.
I got so many westerns. Me and Dad be watching them, but nah. Like me and him, we be bonding, and then they say something, and I'm just thinking of like one or two, and he just go, "What you say?" Like he just turn around smooth. Like he literally turn around smooth. Next thing you know, they're like, hit me the ball.
And even then, right, I won't say anything. The people I talk trash to, generally, we are friends with each other. Mm-hmm. And we'll have a little banter that goes back and forth. But if I don't know you, I'm not talking to you. I'm showing you. If I know you, I'm talking to you and I'm showing you.
So let me ask you this. Has that changed over time? Or were you always from a young age?
The severity of it has. Whereas back then, we could, like pre-cancel culture, there were a lot of terms and references and words we were able to say
mm-hmm.
that we used on the court, right? Listen, like, guys will be guys, competitive sports, they get like that. Nowadays, I see there's more constraint and more, like, people shy away from certain terms,
mm-hmm.
whereas now it's more so, like, I'm going to say it, and either I'm going to whisper it to you, I'm not going to say it out loud, or I'm just going to maybe look at you or let you know subtle, like the Tim Duncan style.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of terms and reference I don't hear anymore, which I used to hear way back in the day. Obviously, I'm dating myself. But
So I'm going to put you on the spot for a second, and hopefully you don't get mad at this for exposing, but I'm gonna just put it out there anyway. So one of the most vivid memories I have of you getting heated on the basketball court, and I've never, like you said, you're usually I didn't get to experience the young Hack, right?
I know exactly where it's going.
We didn't know each other back then, but I do vividly remember, and will always, I don't think it'll ever change, this memory of being out there, and we were playing. I was probably in my like late 20s, early 30s. And so you were probably, you were like a couple of years. So you're probably closer to
post-grad school,
but we're out there playing with some kids who are, you know, 19, 20.
Oh, that one.
Much younger, like, you know, whatever.
The immature crowd.
The maturity was not there. It was lacking for sure. And somebody called my man's Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, that's when Osama was viral.
But, and I've never seen, like, I had to hold him back. Physically had to hold him back. Not that I was afraid. Like, he had enough restraint that I don't think he would have done anything physical, but it was more so just like, it was out of instinct that I did it, because I was like, this is so vile for somebody to say. And this is even then, this is before cancel culture became a thing, right? Mm. But I still was like, this is so bad that I'm gonna hold my man's back just in case, because this is that's a, when we talk about crossing boundaries, right? Just because you're making a generalization about how somebody looks, and you weren't wearing the turban back then, right? You usually just had a beanie on,
right?
Especially if it was, you know, wintertime. Yeah. But you didn't wear a turban like you didn't do now. Recent, this is recent, but it was just the, and you, I don't even think you had a full beard either.
It was like yours.
It was just more like, you know, a tighter shave like mine. So, but just the color of your skin, and it was like, okay, well, we can call him Osama bin Laden. And I was like, man, this just the uneducation, the disrespectfulness.
This came from, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
This rides back to my term of, you're cooking these people, and now they can't handle it. And that real insight, when you hit them, their emotions, and they can't handle it, comes out with the break. Yep. This is the Ben Simmons side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what came out of his mouth. What really shocked me about that moment was, you know, we are in a very, very diverse, multicultural city, where this thing is not like a new thing.
Right.
And even in this day and age, in this city, in this environment, like, we're not in like Bumble Town, wherever.
Right.
Where you don't get diversity.
Right. We're right outside a major metropolitan.
Yeah, right outside DC.
So, and now I'm like, wow. Even here, like, this close to the city, we're this ignorant?
Absolutely.
And then, so at that point, it was more so, you know what? Now, first I wanted to beat him. Now I want to annihilate him. But I want to annihilate him in a way where it's, he questions his choice of sport after this.
That's the heck I know.
That's the heck I know. Right.
I want him to question his choice of sport. That before he ever steps on a court again, he remembers this. That, my God, like, you know how you have this vivid memory? I want him to have this vivid memory of this Osama bin
Laden-ish
whatever guy who killed me in front of my friends.
Right.
To the point where I don't even want to play basketball anymore. I wanted to take his love of basketball away from him.
Mm.
I wanted to be that villain who destroyed his love for basketball.
Then he really going to say, you Osama, dude. No disrespect.
So
he didn't care about that in that moment.
He brought that upon himself.
Like, he gonna be like,
if you listen, somebody who's very near and dear to me, and who will probably see this whenever it's posted, and she gonna laugh when she sees it. She tells me something all the time, and she said, and it's not, I mean, it's not that she made up, but it's a very true phrase and something we use regularly. You play silly games, you win silly prizes. Amen, and he played a very silly game.
Amen
that day.
To that.
And he Facts. Won a very silly prize Facts. At the very end.
And I wanted it to be a lifelong silly prize.
So for me, you know, and I appreciate you letting me share that. But
no, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate you kind of,
because that,
like,
was a deep one. And especially when you think about the societal aspects of where we are today. I mean, that's
because we also have our culture, which has gone through a lot of, which history, like, it's not a big thing in this country, our historical background and us being slaves in our own right at some point in history. So there's a lot of, like, this thing that comes with that. It's not a joke. I don't take it lightly.
Right.
So
yeah, no, it's a bit, like I said, I've never seen that look in your eyes to get to that point, and I knew immediately I had to get in the middle of that, just in case.
I appreciate
just in case, it. You know, because we got
jobs,
family, and clearances, and all that good stuff. But so, for me, I think one of the things that I just thinking about, like, this episode and whatnot, like, one of the biggest changes, I think, for me over time has been to me, in my mind, is social media, right? Mm. And just coming into that, this digital age where at any moment, anything you do or say can become viral and be used against you. And not only that, but if it's dug up from
even out of context
10 plus years ago, right? So I think that that change. So there's two aspects, like this is multifaceted. So hopefully y'all follow me, because there's an aspect of it that's like, it's made in some aspects has made a little bit more PC. But then on the flip side, it's made it more PC for, I think, athletes, because they have to handle it. You know, that's why they have social media managers and brand strategists and all this other stuff to help them ensure that they maintain a positive image. Clean look. And, right. But on the flip side, the toxic side is now we've got the keyboard warriors and people who can hide behind what used to be this, I'm gonna date myself, the egg picture on Twitter, right? But they can hide behind a random picture that's not them, a different identity, just numbers, anonymous user 1234, like, and say whatever reckless things that they want to say about anybody. And that can help to create narratives and push different things. But, you know, once people start talking about it and push it, be like, oh, You know what? I think this person's right. And then the next, like, and it starts to just snowball out of there. And then these athletes who are human at times are like, now I need to jump in and dispel this, you know, stupid narrative that's. Well,
or athletes with burner accounts.
Or athletes, then they create burner. Like, I mean, when you talk about just the trash talking and all of that, and how, like, I think the biggest shift that we've seen, and it's only going to get worse in my opinion.
I agree.
It's only going to get worse because of the magnitude of cameras, and like anybody can just whip a phone out of their pocket and hit the record button at any given time.
So speaking of getting worse, I'm sorry, but I'm going to bring this story up. About 2.5 weeks ago, about 2.5-3 weeks ago, let's just say three to cover, Twitter already had a story about trash talking where they said it's already begun. So, quick side note, what happened in 2020 with people? People were losing their jobs and they went to other strategies. Like, you know, so some people started small businesses like baking goods or, you know, selling clothes or merchandise or trying to help people out with restaurants.
Get famous on TikTok.
Yeah, or get famous by OF. And guess what happened in the last three weeks? Oh my God, a kid got bullied because they literally said, I'm helping to pay your bills for your mom because she's on OnlyFans. It's going to get worse from there. I said, OF, it's going to get worse. He said it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. I'm agreeing.
It's going to get worse for athletes, man. Let's bring it back to the topic. No, we get it. But we don't need to go any further than that. We appreciate
that's
that.
Just U-turn right there.
So we're gonna just bring it all the way back. But it's my point was, as like, you know, us having sons that want to be athletes, right? And they've made that choice and are actively trained to become athletes. It's only going to be that much harder for them.
Right.
As we continue this path, the more and more technology evolves, the more and more social media evolves into how do they put themselves out there as a respectable brand,
right?
In a way where they have to effectively deal with trash talking from all angles. Because now the other aspect of it is, look at how many random people have podcasts like us, or athletes with podcasts that are telling stories about things like the whole Jeff Teague and T-Mac story that just came out. Like, now they're talking more, and just more of the stuff that we would have never heard about.
Right.
Or the only way, the only mechanism to hear about it back then was through beat writers. Through the journalists, the Stephen A's of the world and the Skips back in the day of the world when they were coming up. Like, now it's coming out from them themselves as very, you know,
from the horse's mouth,
from reliable sources.
Close to it.
But But and it's getting out there with the push of a button. It's out to
millions,
hundreds of thousands of millions of people at any given time. And so it's really going to be hard for our boys coming up to say, you got to be on your P's and Q's all the time. And one slip up could be major.
Agreed.
Right?
I think for the next generation or this new age people trying to reach that professional level, for them, it's a very slippery slope.
Yep.
It's a very slippery slope, and they really need to be on their, like you said, P's and Q's, and really just tunnel visioned on where I'm trying to get to. And it'll be even tougher because you being tunnel vision also, and being an elite at what you do brings, you know how like we say, you know, if there's honey, the flies are going to come.
Right.
So you really need to be focused and just know that anywhere, anyhow, anytime, you can be targeted.
Yep.
And you definitely don't want to go through down that, you know, that John Morant slip up type thing where you make a mistake. Right.
Repeatedly.
Or even if you don't, you got caught thinking no one saw you. But as someone at a very high level once said to us, if it hits the digital net, it is accessible to all, no matter what privacy settings you put on it.
Right.
Just know that.
Absolutely. So that's a good segue. I want to ask y'all another question. And thinking about not just the social media aspect, but media in general, because media has evolved. It's not your traditional, you know, even back in the day, they had to get scores in the newspaper and the box score in the sports section, right? Even before TV, and then TV evolved. Now, you know, we can stream things. Like, it's everything has evolved. So the media game has evolved. And now you've got the traditional media, right? The ESPNs, the Foxes, those types of talking heads. Plus, you still have got journalists, beat writers, and things like that who do written and digital content. So you've got that more, that still kind of traditional media continuing the evaluation and analyzing and dissecting players for good, bad, or indifferent, right? But now you've also got this concept of the new media where the athletes, as kind of I was just given as a segue, they've created their own enterprises and their own platforms to tell their own stories in their own way, in their own words, right? With their own emotions. So I just wanted to put out to you your thoughts on how do you think that's going to evolve over time? And will that, where is there going to be a big difference or shift in public opinion about athletes if they do create their own platforms versus relying on what the traditional media says?
I think it's good and bad depending on how it's being used, right? It's already happening now. If you, like Draymond, he's a prime example of it. When they were losing in the playoffs and he was immediately hitting, you know, literally that night recording a podcast, there was a big backlash of fans who were saying, why are you not in the gym practicing? Why are you not doing this? Why are you not doing that? And he actually came out on his one in a recent episode talking about that. Right? And there's that side of it. But then there's also the side of it where players are thinking outside, okay, well, I'm going to play this game 15 years on average, 10 years if I'm a 10, 15 years if I'm a great player. I'm going to retire. I'm retiring at the age of like 35, 40. What am I going to do for the rest of my life?
Shoot, some of them are retiring at 30, 31, 32.
So, yeah, you make a lot of money, but that lifestyle you can't maintain because once the paycheck stops coming in, because not every player has a lucrative afterlife beyond sports.
Amen to that.
Right? Some do, some don't. So they're thinking now more, okay, business deals, right? I need to learn this. So a lot of football players got into real estate.
But how is that going to impact, do you think, the public opinion of that player? Because like Draymond, right? Draymond, for probably outside of Warriors fans, doesn't always get the greatest rap social media, traditional media. But then if you actually sit down unbiased and listen to him, you're like, damn, like he's like keeping a water right now. Like, he's definitely keeping it a buck and being real. And he's, what I like about him separate from how I feel about him as a basketball player and on the court or whatever, is he's unapologetically himself.
Absolutely.
And that's what we all as a society keep saying about people we should be, right? We should be unapologetically ourselves, et cetera, et cetera. And then he does that. So it's like, for me, that's like one very specific instance where had he not had that platform, right, my perception of him would have been based on what I see on the court and right, his media interviews and what the media says about him and what I've heard, you know, obviously making my own opinions, but it's all influenced by the noise and environment that you hear.
I love it. I think it's great to hear it right directly from the source than hearing it from somebody interpreting the source. Like, why would I want to hear something from Shams or anybody when I can hear it directly from the athlete? And athletes are giving locker room stories. Right. Those guys are in the locker rooms interpreting the stories. Why not? Jeff T giving these great stories out, right? Locker room talk. There's guys like Kobe who are talking. Great players or good players are unapologetic in what they do. And we call them villains. Kobe was a villain early on. We only loved him afterwards. Early on, he was a villain. So I think it's great that athletes have taken this, their own, created their own lane. New media is wonderful. But my problem with new media comes here when that starts impacting the bread and butter. Like when that starts impacting how you, for example, based on the story that comes out, now that starts impacting your contract deals, how other teams view you. For example, JaVale McGee, early on, had a terrible rep. Mm-hmm. There was this whole like shacking a fool, JaVale McGee, you know, this like 20 minute long episode of just JaVale McGee non-highlights. Mm-hmm. There was a point where JaVale's mom and JaVale went and talked to Shaq, like, you got to stop. It's hurting my son's career. Then people started taking him seriously. And he's a champion. He's a multi-champion.
But I feel like he started getting taken seriously when he got onto those championship teams.
But that's the thing, though. Media can also make or break the narrative around you based on what the NBA or NFL, MLB, sports, anywhere, is an entertainment business. Mm-hmm. It is not meant to be fair. Mm-hmm. Fair is up for debate. Because I don't know, last time you saw a referee, a scouting reporter, a breakdown of what their performance was like to the public.
No, definitely not.
Correct?
No.
Who are the all-star referees? So that being said, we have to understand this is all entertainment. It is not supposed to be fair. It's supposed to get you riled up, emotional, talk trash to each other. So for that reason, I think it's great how the athlete has found a niche and created their own truth. But again, even their truth could possibly not be a full truth. It's also their interpretation.
So I'm glad you said that, because that's a great segue to the question I have for Matt, which is, do you envision, and I'm going to get Hack's perception as well, but do you think that we could, over time, see the athletes, new media, so to speak, take over the traditional media, the Skips of the world, the Stephen A's of the world? Because even the Stephen A, right? Like, there's a possibility he could leave ESPN for his own show, right? And just, he's given his opinions. Now, obviously, he has very informed opinions because he's been in the business for so long doing what he does.
Still bringing a race.
But the point is, like, do you envision, and it could be decades from now, where that new media kind of takes over, where we really just get everything straight from the source, from the athlete? We don't need, do we need the other perspectives to help balance it out? Because otherwise you do, right? Like, how do you see that dichotomy playing out?
Well, it's already happening. Look at the layoffs at ESPN. See, they already building, and how they're building about going about it, and on Fox and on NFL, they're like, we're going to bring in like JJ Redick, his podcast, you already know, has been popping. I barely watch it, but I still watch it. That's taking over. He's taking over. He's speaking for the athletes. He's tired of journalists. And we're just, some of us fans, we're tired of journalists like saying that they know, but they really don't know what goes into winning a championship or doing it. they barely play the sport, you know, Water Pistol Pete, you know, as Jaden Rose called Skip. It's like, you don't know. Like, I'm being honest, like, he, like, again, we don't know what's really happening. So them taking over, because it's like ESPN is like, okay, we got Pat McAfee, they bring in what, Aaron Rodgers come on, then they ever bring others, and then the shows are, I know that they're creating because of the athletes that are retiring. They're like, oh yeah, we get on this, like, look at NBA The Jump, athletes are coming on that left and right. Rachel and on Showtime, I don't know what the new one is. Mm-hmm. But yes, I do see that happening. I actually see that not happening in the next decades. I see that happening in the next 8 months.
But I think it's a really great point. I hadn't even thought about that. But so then my counter to that would be, are those layoffs because of necessity because of the new media, or is it because they're paying top premium to get Pat McAfee's platform to be able to bring in? So, hey, we got to get rid of all this underlying talent, because Jalen Rose, like, that's a tough cut. That is a tough cut to get rid of. I was shocked. Mm. But could Jalen Rose go and start his own platform and be crazy successful? Absolutely.
Yeah. Shannon Sharp.
Right? Shannon. I mean, well, we don't know what Shannon's going to do yet, but, or at least I haven't heard.
But his own shows. Yet.
I mean, he has his own show, but, like, there's still rumors that he could pop up at ESPN or some other places. So we don't know yet, but, like, yeah, if Shannon wanted to just continue to do his own Club Shay Shay thing, he could, right? The pivot. I mean, Ryan is on ESPN for now,
right?
But the pivot's big enough that, like, could he just eventually that just that be it? I mean, so that's really, like, a great is the old media really just going to be like a couple of high premium people, or people just coming up through the ranks until they move on?
Just one real quick point. Okay. What I love about new media is because it's athlete based. They get direct access to their teammates.
Mm-hmm.
And as a teammate, I'm so comfortable talking to a teammate, it becomes a locker room rather than a journalist who I'm now giving journalistic type answers to.
The shop. Duh, when I said that earlier.
Yeah.
So the layoffs, y'all not going to like this. I am going to bring this up. It's from different entities of what they did at Disney with their dumb investments, or about how they went about it. So when they, I know that for a fact because I'm a huge, huge Disney fan. So them doing all the Marvel and Star Wars and not getting the re-up from streaming and merchandise, they had to go cut into that. And I don't want to get into that because that's not on topic, but that's where it started from. So that's where a lot of the layoffs came from. And
yeah, but I mean, also too, giving you know, top tier money to a set, you know, couple of individuals also plays into that, right? Yeah. It's like dealing with a salary cap, right? If you got your two, maybe three max contract guys, you can't continue to give out big contracts. You got to fill with smaller contracts, and that means that those bigger contracts got to be traded or whatever. So it's like it's kind of the same concept. But to go to your point, Hack, I mean, I think definitely what I like about the new media is that it's challenging the system.
Absolutely,
it's challenging the system, and when the system gets challenged, they have to shake up and they have to adjust. And I think I hope that the quote unquote old media, I guess, I don't know if that's even if they even use that as a phrase, but the more traditional, that it continues on. Cause I think it's good to get a well-rounded perspective, right? Because the athletes, they'll come with their perspectives and their stories, but none of us have all the answers. None of us have all the answers on anything. We might now, they might have the details, specific details on things that have happened behind the scenes and stuff like that. But in terms of perspective, like, we can be the most self-aware people in the world, and there's still going to be somebody who sees something else that we can't see in ourselves. Right? And so I think it's good to have those kind of well-rounded viewpoint. But I love the fact that it's challenging the norm.
I love when old media and new media trash talk each other.
Yes.
I love it because you're like, you've never been good enough to be on the field, right? What do you call it? Water Pistol Pete?
Right.
I enjoy that a lot.
1.2 back and forth that they do. Game. I'm sorry.
No, I mean that's a great point.
So did you see the this golf match between Pat and Travis Kelce versus Steph and Clay.
Mm.
Did you watch that? Like,
I only saw the Steph one hole in one.
No, that was recent.
They had a golf match.
You're talking about a few months ago?
Just a couple months ago, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the, and then, like, when they were all sitting up on a stage.
Yes,
like,
yes, yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah, and then yeah. Charles Barkley, and I can't remember who else, might have been Ernie, who were the commentators for that. And just the level of trash talking, even, like, different sports coming together to play a different sport. And just, it was new media, old media. They're talking trash each other. It was beautiful to watch that whole, like, the way they set it up and the way the whole thing went. In the middle of it, what really stood out to me, because Draymond was there also providing just commentary. He wasn't playing, but he was providing this commentary, and it was hilarious to watch. And this is before Draymond got his contract. Charles is like, hey, Draymond, do you want to give us the inside scoop on if you're going to Detroit tonight on the red eye, or are you going back to Golden? Like, so it was just a lot of this like really funny banter. And then one thing that really stood out to me was when Steph was on his cart going to the next hole, and he goes, guys, if you ever want a sneak peek of what it's like in the locker room, this is it. Right? We don't get to see that, but we've got to see it right there and then. And that, and this was where old media and new media came together to create this thing. So it was beautiful. It was a beautiful like product that they put together. I would like to see more collaboration in harmony, but I do enjoy when they butt heads and talk trash to each other.
Yeah, no, like, I mean, even I haven't even enjoyed when some athletes have come on and battle Skip. I mean,
that's been
fun too. Yes. I mean, so I agree. I think more cross collaboration would be good. So, final note, we'll leave with this because we all can connect. Everybody can connect to trash talking. So I want us to share some individual stories of just a moment that sticks out.
This the Birdman.
When it comes to the Birdman, you gonna do the Birdman. You gotta do it slower than that.
I'm trying to get the effect on the mic, right?
you don't mess it up. You just come
so,
up.
Maybe somebody can put flames on my hands.
Get the Lil Wayne lighter flick. So what are some what's a moment that stands out to you, whether something that's happened to you, trash talking wise, and kind of what was the result?
Sir, why don't you go off?
I'll go first. Man. All right, well, cool. All right, well, I'll never forget this story. So I have one of the best group of friends as into coming to ball. I got these guys, and I got my boys, Marcus and Markyle. And we all decided to come out and ball with each other. It's like, all right, cool. So we head from Jenny Dean to Barcroft. This is about, what, six, seven years ago?
It's a while ago.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
But the thing was, it was five of us and it was the other four. So the four of them, these other guys asked us to play against them. And I was like, my bad. I was like, we were like, all right, cool. Well, this is the one time I actually did not mind sitting out. I actually sat out on this game. I never seen so much Warriors, Spurs, passing, basketball skills in my life coming from Hat, Ken, Marcus, Markyle. I was literally the best spectator you could ever have. I was like, oh my God. Just had popcorn basically out of nowhere at the 7-Eleven. But in the meantime, between time, while we were there, this dude that I think we played against before started trash talking my guys. And I'm like, I don't think you want to do that, man. And hey, can you help me out with the rest of the story on this one? Because
bro, all of us turned it up. It wasn't even just one of us.
Yeah,
remember all of us turned it up.
Can you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a beautiful display of like elite basketball, at least on the courts of like just street ball. I've never seen so much unselfish basketball played so beautifully.
And I'm over there like
while dang. Annihilating people. And I remember his teammates are like, dude, like,
why? And then the worst part about it was, so they're like, Matt, you feel like playing? I'm like, yeah, I'll play against y'all. How many games do y'all play like in a row? Two, right? And I'm just gonna sit and watch and enjoy. They're like, Matt, get up, dog, tell me why I put the most points up on that team. And then my boy Mark, he's like, dude, the best player on the team is our boy. Like, come on, man. Like, Make it make sense. You suck.
my memory of that is just Kanye, two words, and everybody ate, man. Everybody ate.
Everybody ate.
Everybody ate. It was beautiful to watch.
That was so much fun. I wish I recorded that. I need a popcorn and drink that night. That was some good basketball.
That was fun basketball.
Y'all passed so vividly. You like, you want to take this shot? I never seen Ken like, hey, you want to take this? You want to take this?
Yeah, we like.
We were basically out there playing rock, paper, scissors. Like, what's the next shot?
You literally say, you know, it can't be like anything we could do. No, anything we could do better. Like, it's we. Like, basically. This is like, past that, past this.
Yeah, it's rare when you get to play with high level like IQ
and players like, what you said
who really blend well and complement, you know, who complement each other's game. So that was fun.
Fun. But that dude trash talking, that was funny.
I mean, all it takes is that, right?
All
right. Me? All right. So this one.
Oh, wait. Give me 1 second.
My man getting his snacks ready.
Got snacks ready.
Okay.
So this one is... This one has like a longer story to it, but I'll try to bring it together. I'll bring us to the origins of where it began.
We here. We for it.
I was on, you know, the course of 4 mile by myself, just, you know, practicing. Mm-hmm. By myself. Mm-hmm. Just practicing, minding my own business.
Not bothering a damn soul.
What was it?
Being a happy brown man, that he is.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, just... When a couple of guys up, you know, came up in the neighborhood.
When a couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble in my neighborhood. You got in one little...
No, I didn't get into a fight, though. However, comma.
He probably wanted to fight.
After this one, he probably did. So I'm minding my business, and what happens is I see a bunch of cars, right? Like, just like 7-8 cars pull up. All these guys jump out of the car, all excited to hoop. All right, cool. I'm like, bet we're going to have a game. Like, I'm not hype by myself. I'm going to be able to play like a full court or half court game. Great. Which is the rule in pickup. The guy who's on the court first gets asked, just out of courtesy, yo, y'all want to run?
Unwritten rules.
Unwritten rules.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
This is similar to like, do you score in the last 20 minutes or last 20 seconds?
Right.
If you're up 20 points.
No, I mean, you had next. You had first.
I had first. It's just the unwritten rule of street basketball. Here's what happens. These guys come on the flip side, on the other side of the court. They're chatting it up and laughing, ha ha, hoo, putting up shots. All right, guys, let's team up. Let's make some teams. I'm listening. I'm like, all right, so eventually someone's going to ask me, yo, y'all want to run full?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm listening.
The invitation never came.
It never came. And I'm putting up shots, and suddenly what I hear is, all right, cool, let's just shoot for ball. And I'm like, what? Shoot for ball? Oh, maybe they're playing half.
Maybe.
It's going to be tight on a 5-on-5 half.
Mm.
Then I'm still putting up my shots. Next thing I know, there's 10 guys standing next to me or running by me. And I'm like, wait a minute, the math is not mathing here. Because I'm 11.
You said math ain't math. Yeah, you're right.
And the audacity, correct. And I was like, yo, hold up. What y'all doing?
The audacity.
And this guy comes up and he's like, they're the ringleader.
Comes up. I'm sorry.
Not the ringleader.
This guy shows up and he walks up to me. He's like, Yeah, we're going to run full, man. I'm like, hold on a second, bro. I was here first.
Mm.
I'm here. I've been here. You saw me. I've been here. Which means I get to play.
Man,
he's like, no. You got next. I'm like, wait a minute. No. I don't got next. One of y'all got next. And you know what? Here's what I thought to myself. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let them play. And then when I get next... It's going to be 1 versus 9. Meaning, even the 4 guys on my team, I'm going to kill.
Oh, man.
I'm not passing this ball to anybody, and I will single-handedly destroy all 9 of them.
Mm.
And after I do that, I will leave. And that's exactly what happened. And I talk trash, throughout that game, mm-hmm. but in a polite way, the way I did with them. Remember when we first met him? It was that mm-hmm. kind of trash talk.
No, you probably do.
I did. I talked polite trash, and very a lot of the times after every bucket, I stared at that ringleader, and I made sure he wasn't on my team. I chose the weakest team. I was looking around for their weaker players. It was the Jimmy Butler Timberwolves story.
Right.
That's
right,
what it was. I picked the weakest players, single-handedly destroyed them, and then said, "All right, good game, fellas." And now every time we see those people, since that point, every time we saw them mm-hmm. on anywhere, I got this
hatred.
No. There's no hatred. No hatred.
Well, from the ringleader.
It's mm-mm. not hatred. Mm-mm. I get giddy. Like, oh
no, ooh. Not from you. I'm talking about towards you. Towards you.
Towards me. Because
it's not hatred. They just think that you're equal. And I was laughing when they told me that. Like, bro, like, you gotta understand. I'm sorry for interrupting.
No, it's cool. It's cool. Go ahead.
But you know, I don't know if I told you this. So I'm talking to one of them. Guys, we cool. But I'm just saying, I had to tell them because I was like, bro. Like, y'all not on that level. Y'all not even on mine because I beat y'all easily. Mm. So, it's like playing with kids. anyway, you know what he said? He's like, hey, man, Hack's like a rival, man. It's just like we go at it all the time. I said, rival? Rival?
You got to win to be rivals.
And I told him that. And he said, on the phone, he said, rival? 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 Like,
my response to that was, that's practice. Mm. You can't be a rival when you practice. First, you got to get to practice level. That's the practice squad I play against. Rivals are somebody else.
Oh, that team is so fun to beat.
So every time we meet, it becomes a thing. It's like an unspoken trash talk where it becomes a thing for me that I have to kill this guy
right.
and make him question his choice of sport
right.
every time he... So... And just to add to this real quick, like a little side one, we recently played. Now, this is many years and just us going back and forth and them taking L after L after L. Just recently, there was a game where he came and there's one of his boys.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't hear this one.
Yeah.
Snap.
This was like probably maybe a year and a half ago before I moved here.
Okay.
Before I moved to another, you know. And they showed up. I guess he went off to school or whatever, came back and... Oh snap, he's back. I got giddy again. Like, yes. He started guarding me, right? It was just him and his boy. And one of and our boys were there. We were playing our 4-on-4 or 3-on-3. Mm-hmm. And then them two showed up. It became 4-on-4. I remember he was guarding me. Because naturally.
Right.
Well, naturally for him, right? He's guarding me. And we played 4 or 5 games. And you were there, I think. We played 4-5. This was at Croft. And first it was 2-on-2. We played. And this guy, I cooked him. Hit game winners on him. We got to the 6th game or the 5th game of the night. And he goes, no, I got Hack. And our boys, TJ and you, I believe, goes, no, you don't. You've been cooking you all night.
You haven't had them for 5 or 6 games.
Oh my, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
The way they were so animated, like
they it's great when somebody else can talk trash for you.
Right. Dude, I laughed so hard. That like, was internally.
Me. No, that was me because was he was on my team.
Yeah, he was on your team.
Rest dog, time. Wait, now you got why you bring that memory back? That was the night I also said, start apologizing, man. Yeah,
that's the night you started apologizing.
No, that was a little bit around that time.
And I just remember the way they said it. It was so vivid. I'm like, that's it right there. That stamped it. Dude, you trash, man. You T-rash, bro.
T-rash. Rash. Nah, but that's beautiful. When somebody else can do the trash talking for you, whoo, my goodness. Well, I can't think of a more beautiful way to end it on that note. So I want to thank y'all fellas for.
I need to hear this other story. What about the other two?
We'll save that for another episode. Don't worry about that. I got you. I got you on another episode.
I got the kid.
But on that note,
I pulled this out just for the story, hey, man.
Listen, man, you pulled it out because you hungry. Shut up.
No, I ain't
stop talking.
I'm hungry.
You pulled it out because you're hungry.
I pulled it already. I am hungry, but I pulled it out. I'm like ready to hear the story. I'm like.
Right, just feed your hungry ass and call it a day. But nah, appreciate y'all for tuning in. And I think this is going to be a topic we revisit a few different times. Absolutely. So,
you better tell your story.
Appreciate y'all tuning
in. Appreciate y'all. Take care. Till next time.
Wait, wait, wait.
Peace.
That's Hack. That's Ken. Now, peace.